You don't have any coffee on you, do you? All right. God bless you. You're dismissed. No, I'm kidding. This is the Katie we've been praying for. Right here. Is that right? Right there? We've been praying for her. We're on your Facebook and the church's Facebook. Somebody posted. Yeah. Anyway, we've been praying for her. Yeah. Right. What's her name? That's who we've been praying for. Father, in Jesus' name, everything that you need to accomplish in this child, Lord, we just speak it right now. We speak your healing touch, your freedom. All her future is set in you, Jesus. Bless that beautiful child and that family in Jesus' name. Amen. Darlene has a teaching that she gives from Psalm 23, and many of you know Psalm 23, but it says, surely goodness and mercy, why don't you get my water, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the end of Psalm 23. But if you look it up in the Hebrew, the word there for surely is only. Makes a lot of difference. Only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In other words, the past can't follow you all the days of your life. Only goodness and mercy is going to follow you. And for our brother, it's about to be deployed. We are extremely pro-military, and we are going to be praying for you in your deployment. And only goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And I felt the Lord tell me to tell you, your training is going to kick in a lot. Eh, what do I know? My training didn't, but some of you need to hear my testimony and you'll understand what I just said. But if you've not heard my testimony, I recommend you go hear it. Darlene has one CD. But it's on our website, BillDavisMin.com. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you would. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture here. And it's found in the book of Matthew. Hold it just a second. Luke 8:37. 40, 41, 43 through 55. That's a lot of scripture, isn't it? But I'm going to read the first part of it, and then we'll go from there, okay? It says here, soon all the people of the region of Gennesaret and the surrounding country begged Jesus to leave them, for they were gripped with fear. Now, if you don't know why they were gripped with fear, Jesus had just dealt with the Gadarene demoniac. And one translation says, what is your name? And came back and said, my name is Mob, M-O-B, which means there's thousands of us. A mob was anywhere between 1,000 or 2,000. So this man was decreeing that he had over 2,000 demons. And the people of the area would have testified, yeah, this man's out of his ever-loving mind. I mean, he's naked. He runs out naked. He cuts himself. How many of you does this sound familiar? He cuts himself. He bleeds. He bangs his head against the wall. I mean, he's full of demons. And he said the name of these demons are Mob. And so when Jesus cast out those 2,000 demons, and they went into a bunch of pigs, and the pigs ran and drowned themselves. How many of you would be a little concerned? Would you? Any of you farm? You know what I'm talking about? you'd be concerned too. So the Gerasenes, the people of Gerasenes, saw that happen, and they asked Jesus, could you leave? You know why? Come on. Why? It says they were in fear. What was in fear? It wasn't them. It was the demons. The whole area was racked with the demonic activity. And you say, Bill, you believe demons are around? Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, they're not in this building. Oh, are you kidding me? That's why we say this building is not the church. It's just a place where the church gathers. You are the church. Are you saying some of us in this room might have demons? Yeah, maybe. Somebody asked Derek Prince, who was the principal teacher on demonic activity. They asked him, they said, we understand you believe there's a demon behind every bush. He said, no, I do not believe that. Well, what do you believe? He said, I believe there's two demons behind every bush. And they're all out to try to stop the church and stop us from walking in peace. And they throw fear out like it's candy. And he said, the problem is the church picks up the candy and eats it and makes it part of their system. Don't do that. Don't let the enemy throw fear out at you. You say, but I've lived in fear my whole life. Well, it's time to get set free. Listen to me. It's time to get set free. I really ticked somebody off here in this church one time. Really, Bill? I thought we all just loved you. Right. When all men speak well of you, beware. You're not doing the will of God. And this guy came up to me after I said something in a church service, and he said, I don't like what you said. Well, good. And my response was, what did I say? I don't remember. He said, you said to those of us that had struggles, get over it. I did? Yes, you did. You just don't know what I've been through. And I looked at him and I said, really? So get over it's not a good word for you. No. He said, what do you think I should do? I said, get over it. It's time to have that stuff stop following you and your bitterness and anger towards those who have hurt you to drop by the wayside, and you begin to lift up your countenance unto the Lord and see what He's got for you. He told me later, he said, I got even more mad at you. I went home and I sat in my easy chair and I said, what about that, God? And he said, get over it. God said it to him. Uh-oh. He said, you mean he was right? Not always, but he was right this morning. I don't decree myself to be right all the time. You don't either, do you, Steve? No, we better not. Because the moment you do, all your wrong things are going to start showing up in the light. But anyway, he cast out the devils out of this guy, and everybody was afraid. And can you imagine asking Jesus to leave your territory? You know, churches are doing that all over the world. They're asking Jesus to leave. You're too controversial. And Christians are backing away from their Christian stance and saying, Jesus, can you go to another city? You embarrass me. Let me tell you, I heard a preacher say years ago, this was probably 18 years ago, say there's coming a day in the church when God's going to draw a line right down the middle, and those who are for Him will come over to the right, and those who are against Him will go to the left. Now listen, I'm not speaking political. But this is what this guy said. And he said the evidence of those who go to the right will be extremely evident. but they will be persecuted for their faith. And they'll be persecuted by those on the left. Are you with me? Now, I will not tell you who I voted for. Trump! Excuse me. Wow, man, that sneeze just came right on. If you don't like that, write me a letter. When Jesus returned to the Galilee, the crowds were overjoyed. These people were excited to see Jesus, for they had been waiting for him to arrive. Just then, a man named Jairus, the leader of the local Jewish congregation, fell before Jesus' feet. He desperately begged Jesus to come and heal his 12-year-old daughter, his only child, because she was at the point of death. Listen to this. Jesus started to go with him to his home to see her, but a large crowd surrounded him. In the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered greatly for 12 years. Interesting. Two 12-year-olds. One who had suffered for 12 years, and one who was 12 years old suffering. Two suffering people. This is so good. Follow me now. Even though she had spent all that she had on healers, she was still suffering. Pressing in through the crowd, she came up behind Jesus and touched the tassel of his prayer shawl. Instantly, her bleeding stopped and she was healed. Jesus suddenly stopped and said to his disciples, "Someone touched me. Who is it?" While they all denied it, Peter pointed out, "Master, everyone is touching you, trying to get close to you. The crowds are so thick we can't walk through all these people without being jostled." Jesus replied, "Yes, but I felt power surge through me. Someone touched me to be healed, and they received their healing." Now, I want to stop right there for a moment. Everybody say she received her healing. I was in Israel. Some of us have had the privilege of going to Israel. I was hoping to take Darlene in January to Israel. We have a group that are going over, and we're part of that hosting group. But I went to Israel, and this was many years ago, okay? 1991. I went to a prayer conference in Israel. I ended up speaking at the prayer conference. I was not there to speak, but they asked me to speak. I ended up speaking in three different messianic congregations while I was there. And that's the Lord opens those doors, okay? But while we were traveling around, we had a messianic Jewish rabbi as our host, our teacher. And in the different locations we would go to, he would share with us different aspects of the areas where we would go. And we went to the place where this miracle took place. And he began to share something that I had never seen before. And I'm reading, by the way, this is from the Passion Translation. And it got it correct. It says that the lady reached up and touched the tassel of his prayer shawl. She didn't just touch Jesus. She touched the tassel. By the way, he said to us, the tassel there is spelled the talith. T-A-L-I-T-H. The talith of Jesus' garment. There are four strands on a prayer shawl of a leader in his family and a Jewish rabbi. And Jesus was considered the rabbi. But listen to this. The front left strand is always weaved in a specific way that fits the family. Are you with me? It's called the family talith. No one is supposed to touch that family strand except a family member. In other words, when somebody's sick or they need prayer, and they come up to the leader in that family, which Jesus at that point was the leader of his whole family. He was the oldest, firstborn. Are you with me now? He was the leader of that family. I knew he'd be back. Now listen, this gets good here. She touched the talit, instantly healed. No one's supposed to touch that but a family member. So Jesus knew not only did virtue or power flow out of him, he knew someone was healed. He didn't know what or that person who that was. But let me say something to you. This is what this rabbi told us over there. He said that woman was not supposed to be in that crowd. She was not supposed to be there. It was illegal for her to be there. She had an issue of blood. She was considered unclean. And if she had touched someone physically, they would have to go and be cleansed. Do you understand? And it's a 7-day cleansing. And they can't be in the crowd. They can't be there. This woman had this issue of blood for 12 years. She was not allowed to go to synagogue. She was not allowed to go shopping when everyone else went shopping. They had special shopping time for the unclean. Are you with me? She was not supposed to be in any crowds because she could touch people in a crowd and those people would have to go and be made clean. The scripture says she touched the tassel of his prayer shawl. That's what the new Passion Translation says. All the others said she touched the hem of his garment. Well, that's where the tassel is on the hem of his garment. And she grabbed that tassel and was healed. Now, I want to read to you the rest of this because it gets really, really good. And it has a lot to do with you this morning. What? Absolutely. Yes, I felt power surge through me. Someone touched me to be healed, and they received it. When the woman realized she couldn't hide any longer, everybody say hide. Before she couldn't hide any longer, she came and fell trembling at Jesus' feet. Before the entire crowd, she declared, "I was desperate to touch you, Jesus. For I knew if I could just touch even the fringe of your robe, I would be healed." Jesus responded, "Beloved daughter." Everybody say, "Beloved daughter." "Beloved daughter, your faith in me has released your healing. You may go with my peace." Now, I want to stop just for a second. Where was Jesus going? He was going to the house of Jairus. Who was Jairus? He was the one in charge of the synagogue. Are you with me now? He was the one who was in charge to make sure no unclean people were there. And it was his job to punish the one who was unclean. That was Jairus' job. But how many of you know he wasn't focused on that woman? He was focused on his sick daughter. And here's what's so beautiful. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, my beloved daughter." He didn't just say daughter, "my beloved daughter. You touched me and your faith has released your healing." And do you know why he did that? Do you know Jesus didn't waste any words? Why did he say that? He said that not only to the crowd, but he said it to Jairus. "This is my father's daughter. Therefore, she is my daughter. Let her back. Bring her back in. She's healed. She's part of the family. She's touched the family strand. It's released power. She's part of the family. I believe with all my heart that this particular body of believers right here, and we love you so dearly. I believe you are not just a congregation. You're a family. Hello? You have all the authority of the heavenly family of God. You've been given a name that the scripture says was higher and more powerful than any name ever given. You are the family of Jesus Christ. You're the sons, you're the daughters of Jesus Christ. Your children are children of those that love Jesus Christ, who are part of the family. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You're my family." How does the world know that we're part of the family? Because we have the family resemblance. What? Somebody said to me a while ago, family came in, and by the way, I was shocked. Because I had said, we'll see you this afternoon. Okay, Dad, bye. Boom, they showed up. Did you see my reaction, any of you? I try to reserve my energy because I'm 72 for preaching. So I sit down, and it's not had anything to do with the worship or anything. I just sit down to reserve my energy because I know I'm going to be standing for 4 more minutes. And I'm kidding. But anyway, here I am, and they walk in, and my heart leapt because my family. And you see, here's the problem. My heart had been leaping all morning. Why? Because when I walked in the door, this is my family. You guys are my family. We didn't just step into the middle of this thing just to help people get moving. We stepped into the middle of this because we were family. I sent you guys out of Northfield to come here. I did. Y'all weren't around then, but I preached a message. Get out of here. Go. And I had no clue there was a group wanting to go to Faribault, and I said, get out of here. If you ain't got nowhere else to go, go to Faribault. And they did. Gary Gilbertson wanted to kill me. He did, man. I just separated 50 people from his congregation. And he resigned. Not kidding. He resigned because he went on to another ministry. But listen, he didn't realize he was sending out a family. And you see, I don't think they all became family overnight. But I think the family process. How many of you know when a child is born to you, you don't look at that child immediately and say, oh, man, look, he's got this, 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 and this. No, they're babies. And you might have in your heart, well, they're going to be this or that or that. No, you don't know for sure, but they're your family. I stand with my family. I support my family to the best of my ability. And you're my family because we're part of this. When we walk in the doors here, my heart leaps. I see people I haven't seen for a while. My heart leaps. I know because it's my family. When I see Steve and Joan, when we saw them last night, they were sitting outside the hotel waiting for us to show up from the grocery store. When I saw them, my heart just leapt in my chest. I see many of you in this congregation that we've known all these years. I look at you and I think, what a motley crew. But you're family. And I every time I see Bruce and he says, we're adding another one, I said, man, that family's big. Come on. I'm going to send him an email later, but I love Bruce and his precious family. Old Snez came up to me a while ago and grabbed me, and he said, I'm speaking to the children in the basement, and my message is going to be better than yours. I said, yeah, that's family, buddy. You're on. You're on. But Jesus said, daughter, and he said it to everybody that was around to hear. This rabbi said, when Jesus said that, Jairus had no choice but to receive that woman back in to the congregation of the beloved, because she was called beloved daughter. Not just a daughter, but a very special daughter. Do you realize that's what Jesus calls you? My beloved. Look it up in Scripture. He calls anybody who has committed their life to Christ, my beloved. In other words, my people that are loved. Loved. If you don't feel love, not only in the congregation, but from heaven, that's what Darlene was talking about. Any blockage that's there, keeping you from knowing and sensing God's love for you, you're missing something because He loves you. Can I finish this? Can I have 3 more minutes? In heaven, 3 minutes is like 3 hours. I'm kidding. I'm joking. You're in trouble. You know what I did? I put this on never. Never shut off. Anyway, he said, my daughter, go in peace. When Jesus was still speaking to the woman, someone came from Jairus' house and told him, the daughter has passed away. She's gone. When Jesus heard this, he said, Jairus, don't yield to your fear. Don't yield to your fear. Here's the problem. We've been taught our whole life to yield to the fears of life. We've been told, be afraid of this, be afraid of that. That person, you don't know them, be afraid of them. They're a different color than you, be afraid of them. They're from a different background, be afraid of them. You may touch them and become unclean. You just might not know that that person sitting on the side of the road with a sign saying, I need food, maybe one of your family members. But you walk in fear. And Jairus was definitely in fear because he loved his daughter. He's 12 years old. Jairus, don't yield to your fear. Have faith in me, and she will live again. When they arrived at the house, Jesus allowed only Peter, John, and Jacob, along with the child's parents, to go inside. Jesus told those left outside who were sobbing and wailing with grief. Let me stop there for a moment. They were sobbing and wailing with grief because they'd been hired to sob and wail. Say what? It was tradition for the Jews to hire wailers and sobbers when somebody died. Stop crying. She is not dead. She's just asleep and must be awakened. They laughed at him, knowing for certain that she had died. Jesus approached the body, took the girl by the hand, and called with a loud voice, Talitha, come. Everybody say Talitha. Talitha. What strand did the woman grab? The Talith. The family strand. Jesus said, my daughter, my sleeping child, Talitha, come. In the Hebrew, Talitha, come. Rise up. Instantly, her spirit returned to her body. She stood up. Jesus directed her stunned parents. How many of you would be stunned? You still get stunned when a healing shows up? I do. I don't take anything for granted. When I pray for somebody that's sick and they get healed, you know what I do? Well, God bless you. I turn around and go, yes! We got one! Come on! Jesus directed her stunned parents to give her something to eat and ordered them not to tell anyone about what had happened. Now let me say to you, Jesus did that a lot. How many of you know how many obeyed him? None. Not one. Not one of his disciples. Not one of the crowd. You know what? Jairus went out and told everybody. And he didn't have to because his daughter was alive. How are you not going to tell somebody? All those wailers and whiners were out there whining for a dead person. Could you imagine the shock on their face when she opens the door and says, hi. And she's eating a falafel? Come on. Oi. Talitha, daughter, come. Come now. I think the Holy Spirit is trying to say something to his church, and that is, don't walk in fear. Let me ask you a question. How many of you watch the news? Raise your arm if you watch the news. Do you? Okay. I'm not going to ask you which one, but how many of you know a lot of the news is fear-mongering? Yeah. We live in Florida. We get hurricanes. Yeah, I never understood why they called them hurricanes until I got married. Hurricanes. Get it? Hurricanes. They should have named them hemicanes, but no, that was too close to hemorrhoids. Steve, am I killing you, buddy? Anyway, hurricanes. Are you there now? Family. What are we? We're a family. When one's hurting, all hurt. If you have not experienced that yet, then it's time to join the family. It's time to join the family. It's not time to sign up on the church roll. It's time to be part of the family. And everything I know about what's happening in this church right now is it's gelling into a stronger and stronger family with stronger and stronger leadership, not to dominate people, but to build people up, to encourage them, to say, get up off your duff, let's do this thing, come on. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. There's a world out there dying without Jesus. Come on, get up. Go find someone that's hungry. Take them a bag of food. Go find someone that's about to be deployed. Stand with them. Do what it takes. Do what it takes. Thank you, son. I'll read it in a little bit. Do what it takes. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got any needs? Got any needs? Is everybody here got all your needs met? I know it's... That's why it's called a river, guys. Because in that river, we get in, we flow. We flow into each other's lives. We stand with each other. I wanted to say this morning so badly, there are some people you just need to walk a mile in their moccasins to see where they're going, where they've been. We don't know everybody's story in this room. Many we do, but we don't know everybody's story. We don't know where you've been. Many of us don't know where you are right now. But I do know where you're going. If you've committed your life to Christ, you're going into the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, it doesn't say you have to wait to die or wait for Him to come back. The Scripture says you are seated with Him in heavenly places. Amen. You already are. Oh, I don't have to wait. Nope, you're there. I love that baby. Say, Papa, Papa, Papa. We FaceTime every day, and all she can do is look at me in the thing and go, Papa, Papa, Papa. Oh, I tell her to stop. Yeah, right. We're a family. Scripture calls us covenant, men and women. We have cut a covenant with Jesus Christ, and because we have cut a covenant with Him, and we've been washed by His blood, that blood has cut down to you and I. We are part of the covenant family of God. Wow. Are you saying to me I should spend my time with the other part of the family? Yeah, take your obligations at home seriously. Love your family, love your wife, love your children, but love the body. Love the church. Because I'll tell you what, a single strand is weak. A dual strand is stronger. But a threefold strand cannot be broken, the Scripture says. It's weaved so strongly. And that was the weaving in the strand of Jesus' prayer garment. It was the talith. The daughter was 12. The lady had been bleeding for 12. Got any correlation there? I think so. I think they were both just waiting for Jesus to come into the area. Is He in the area now? Wow. Yeah. He's in the area. He's here. We're not pushing Him away and saying, go to another city. We're like the people that said, oh, He's here. He's here. And the Scripture says they were overjoyed. They were filled with joy because Jesus was there. Come on. You know, today when we were singing Raise a Hallelujah, at the end, some real loud-mouthed guy shouted hallelujah. I literally watched one of the kids jump that high off the floor. But you know what? They were right back worshiping. Right back worshiping. What are you afraid of? Well, I don't want people to reject me. I don't want people to look at me and say, oh, it's a fanatic. Many of you know my sign, big hairy deal. What if they think you're a fanatic? So what? You know, one of our Bible teachers early on said, the definition of a fanatic is somebody that loves Jesus more than you. Ha! Give me that label. I'll take it. If nobody else wants it, I'm a fanatic. I guess it's time to quit. How many of you want to be a fanatic? I get to go to lunch with them. Oh boy, honey. They are family. Listen, if you want to be a fanatic, just somebody that loves Jesus more than you, just stand for a minute. Just stand for a minute. I want to be a fanatic. Some of you just have, now I'll pass on that one. Everybody's going to look at me and go, ooh. Who cares? Let them look at you. Show them the real Jesus. And see, what you've done right now is you're standing for the real Jesus. Not a religious Jesus. Not a statue in a building. It's the person of Jesus Christ that you're saying, let me identify with you. I want to identify with you, and I want to identify with the family. Let my identity be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. I want to love you more and more and more until that day. Amen? Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, I got it. Steve, you got anything? Are we done? God bless you. Lord, bless this mess. Serve the meal gladly, Jesus. We'll eat it. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed.